Welcome to this production of Spectres and Spirits, written by Richard R. Henry and directed by Mark Shanahan. Brought to you by Westport Country Playhouse in partnership with WSHU. A special thank you to the Playhouse's 2021 season sponsor, the Eunice and David Bigelow Foundation, whose generous support made this production possible.
Imagine yourself arriving at the theater. Your ticket is in hand. You take your seat. The lights lower. A hush comes over the crowd. The curtain rises. But at this performance, everything you see, it's all in your mind's eye. This is the Westport Country Playhouse Radio Theater.
My name is Helen Davis, and I'm the executive producer of the podcast Spectres and Spirits, hosted by the much-beloved Jeff Switzer. Longtime fans of Jeff adored him and his ability to capture the voices of ghosts in his EVP work. Tonight, we air his final Halloween episode in an effort to celebrate Jeff and his incredible body of work, but also to raise awareness to the fact that he is still missing. The search for Jeff continues tirelessly, and with permission from his family, we now present episode 237 of Spectres and Spirits, recorded last Halloween. Jeff, we hope you're listening, and will come back to us soon.
Hear the dead speak. Hear their cries. Listen to voices from the other side. Welcome to Spectres and Spirits.
I'm your paranormal host, Jeff Switzer. I spend the night alone in haunted locations all over the USA in search of the spiritual truth. Let's find out what's really out there. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. excuse me. Let me just put some sugar in this coffee and we can begin. Now, this... Just a second. This is not your usual ghost podcast in that mostly I don't believe a lot of the stuff you see and hear online because in the digital age, everything can be faked. Now, I'm sorry for those of you who have heard me say this before, but it bears repeating. So, you'll have to believe me when I tell you the stuff I capture is as real as it gets. All the paranormal sounds and voices you will hear have been captured by me, and it is all original content, which, of course, is contrary to what my enemies who send me hate mails want you to believe. Isn't that right? Stonerfood15@.com. You guys, I am sick of this guy. I may actually post those emails up on the site. Just a second. Oh, man, this coffee is so good. Anyway, I don't bother with video because it can be easily manipulated by a teenager, and it often is. I am an EVP specialist, a sound expert. Most of the time, ghosts prefer to be heard and not seen, and that's where I come in. More on that in a minute. Just one more sip as I burn my mouth. It's actually too hot at the moment, but I'm going in anyway. Now, let's jump in to some creepy goodness to just warm us up. If you're new to the show, give a quick listen to what I recorded last year at a private home whose owners wish to remain anonymous. And if you saw this place, you would too. This family are admitted hoarders. Folks, this was an incredible sight. And this is a second home where they stash their junk. They have two houses filled with garbage. It is an enormous 40 plus maybe year old mess. They lived in one house. They took decades to fill up with junk. And when their son died, they simply moved into a second house and filled that one up with junk too. They will no longer enter the first house because they believe it to be haunted by their late son, who lost his life at the age of 9. 30 years ago in that first house, playing near a pile of old television sets that were stacked too high. This EVP session was commissioned by the boy's family. It is important to note that I was alone in the house the night this was recorded. Any voices you hear that are not mine are not from this plane of existence. Listen to this.
Okay, just a second. Just a second. I'm hearing some whispers. It could be a draft in this old basement, but I'm gonna start recording and attempting to make contact. Just hang on a second. Okay. Okay, you honestly would not believe the sheer volume of junk. I mean, stacked ceiling high in this babe. Hundreds of vintage oil cans. What? Oh, man. There are more old board games than I can count. Remember Chutes and Ladders? Oh! Geez. Okay. Sorry. I'm trying not to have stuff come down on me. Okay. I am in the former television room, as they called it. This family has been in electronics and auto repair for decades, so there's no shortage of that stuff everywhere. Okay. There is only one working light bulb down here, so bear with me, I can barely see crap. Let me get my flashlight. I'm sorry, you guys, it's very dusty down here. I'm okay. I'm currently in the location where their son departed, and it has been cleared of all the old TVs. In their place, oh wow. Okay, many of the young boy's former belongings, his bed, his old toys, and what could be his clothes in vacuum sealed bags stacked on a child's dresser. His mom told me since she believes he still spends all his time down here where he died, she wanted him to have all his things. Oh, wow. Is it a little creepy? I will say yes. I've been granted permission to use his name in these recordings in an effort to elicit a response. Jonathan. I will tell you honestly that I'm currently a little on edge to see all of his old stuff assembled here. It's essentially like it's a full child's bedroom stuffed into a dirty old basement. All right, this area is ripe for this type of work we're doing tonight, and I already have hair standing on the back of my neck. Let me just, I'm gonna set down this mic. Hey, everybody. It's been 4 hours of silence. I'm still down here in the basement. Occasionally, I will I'll throw out a few questions and I'll give it another go. Hey, Jonathan. I'm Jeff. Your family has asked me to come pay you a visit. I will not be here long, and I will not disturb anything. May I please speak with you? Oh, okay. I think there might have been a response. I saw a spike in the sound wave readout. Uh-huh. Sometimes the responses that I get are not immediately apparent to me and have to be enhanced later, just a second, to decipher what was delivered. Hey, Johnny. Your mom and dad want to know if you're okay, Johnny. temperature gauge is kind of spiking right now. It definitely just got a little colder down here.
Johnny! Can you hear me? Johnny!
Okay. That one I could definitely make out as, stay with me. Wow, okay.
I'm here, buddy. Let's talk. You want to talk to me, Johnny?
Mama?
Oh, man. Okay.
Okay, folks, we are back. And if you were listening closely, you could hear that little Johnny said mama at the end. And if you were freaked out, you could probably imagine how I felt. It was truly a spooky experience to have a direct line to Jonathan, rest his soul. I always listened to the footage. There was 9 hours of footage. I was in the basement for 9 hours, and well, that was all that I got. As usual, when I complete a case, I will hand over the recordings to the family and play back for them what I received that is useful. And they heard the quotes that you heard from Jonathan, and the mom was disturbed. There were tears, and the dad was not convinced. He's, you know, he's a skeptic, which is good. But I always tell him, you get what you get when you make these recordings. You know, it's almost never an open dialogue, coherent and complete. These are fragments of energy waves from another place that even the latest sound technology struggles to decipher. There is enough compelling evidence, however, to continue the EVP work. And for the newbies to the show, especially the ones who only tune in on Halloween, you know who you are. What is an EVP? I'm just going to run this quick clip. Some of you may have heard before. I'm sorry. This is for the noobs. I have to do newbie stuff on Halloween. You know that. Listen to this. Hey, this is Jeff Switzer. Thanks for joining me. Electronic voice phenomena have been studied officially since the 1970s. The idea is that a sensitive audio recording device can pick up sound waves that are sometimes inaudible to the human ear. Ghost hunters all over the globe collect EVPs at alleged haunted locations and then analyze the data, trying to decipher any messages that may have been received from the other side. Paranormal experts will often use various means to provoke a spirit into communicating with them. Aggressive questioning and even Ouija boards are used to initiate a response. The great Thomas Edison himself once said, quote, "If our personality survives, then it is strictly logical or scientific to assume that it retains memory, intellect, other faculties, and knowledge that we acquire on this earth. Therefore, if we can evolve an instrument so delicate as to be affected by our personality as it survives in the next life, such an instrument, when made available, ought to record something." End quote. I'm sorry for the playback, folks, but I do feel that it's important to educate while we do this stuff. Now, the naysayers will call EVP work modern quackery, of course, chalking it up to something called apophania, which is perceiving patterns in random information. It's like seeing faces in wood grain patterns, but applied to sounds. I personally have a hard time with this, as I am a conscious, responsible human being just interested in knowing as much as I can about what is going on in the spirit realm. I have so much testimony from hundreds of witnesses, folks. There is more than we know going on. Damn it, I want to get to the bottom of it. And I know that most of you are saying, Jeff, please shut up and play more ghost voices. We want to know more too, but we're tired of hearing from you. All right, don't take my word for it. Listen to these. Annie, could you please repeat that?
I am alone.
Ooh. That sounds like a girl, doesn't it? She said, I am alone.
I am alone.
Oh, Jesus. Oh.
Did you just slam that door? You freaking me out? Did you just slam that door? That was a clear yes. And I'm gonna get out of this room. Hey there, can you tell me your name? Can you please tell me your name? I think he said Max Powers. Max Powers. Okay, we're back, folks. Did that sound like white noise to you? Random noise patterns, maybe? No. Those three voices were recorded in episode 17, 28, and 122, if you want to know more about them. Now, let's go on location and get this party started, please. Tonight on Halloween, we are live and on location at the historic and very abandoned sanatorium located just outside in the middle of the woodsy and sleepy suburbs. Now, when I say live, I mean from this point forward, there will be no editing. Everything you hear is happening in the moment and unedited. Most of you fans of the show already know that America is riddled with abandoned state mental hospitals, mostly because I have been to several of them after they were closed, of course. Yuck, yuck. Now, why do so many of these both architecturally gorgeous and creepy abandoned hospitals litter the landscape? Well, I am standing here with the current owner of this dilapidated wonder, Rose Miller, to sort this out. Mrs. Miller, thank you very much.
Oh, well, you're welcome, my dear. Well, in short, about the 1960s, laws were passed that made it deliberately difficult for people to be easily admitted into federally and state-funded mental health care.
Okay.
Which, of course, killed the budgets for these huge campuses and effectively shut it all down.
Right, and there are several podcasts that break down the injustices and all of that in further detail, but that is not why we're here tonight.
Well, no. No, indeed not. Let's get to the good stuff.
Yes, the good stuff. Thank you, please. First, tell me why anyone would want to own this place.
Well, this place only has about a year left before I turn it into an apartment complex.
Oh, I see. Another one bites the dust.
Well, they will eventually all crumble away, dear boy.
True, true, true.
And this property is mostly condemned, save for the few public spaces I've kept open.
That's right. You've had several art installations over the years and a few theatrical performances.
Yes, yes. Well, and now it's all shut down, awaiting the wrecking ball, as it were.
Rose, do you mind if we step inside the lobby, get out of the cold, and you can give me a little tour of whatever is accessible?
I won't step foot in there anymore, Jeff. The next time I walk on that property is when this land is flat and empty, waiting the foundations of the new apartments.
Wow. Okay. Well,
Rose, mm-hmm. Now you know you have to tell me why.
Oh, well, yes, of course. I am a fan of your show, Jeff, and when I got your email, it was a no-brainer. You're a sweet man.
Thank you very much.
However, I don't know how you can be so brave lingering in these cursed ruins at night, provoking the dead. I am very fearful of this place, and just about every place you have ever visited on your show.
Wow, cursed ruins. Tell us more, please.
Well, I think any place that has seen so much suffering leaves an imprint on the location.
Right.
In the final decades of this hospital, there were sometimes 50 to 60 patients to a single nurse who could no longer cared to bear the burden.
Mm-hmm.
Neglect and abuse were rampant.
Right. This was not uncommon toward the bitter end of these places. It sounds like you've done your research.
Indeed. I felt that if I were going to be the one responsible for erasing this place from history, I should know everything I can about it and its past, good and bad.
Right. I may have to do another show where we discuss that in further detail, Rose. This might be a two-parter.
Well, your curiosity and courage intrigue me. I am drawn to your strength. I'll wager the ghosts are attracted to you in the same way.
Well, I try not to date ghosts, Mrs. Miller. I'm sure you understand it can get messy.
Oh, no doubt your sense of humor is part of what keeps you safe.
I hope.
Here is the key to the main entrance.
Okay.
You could crawl through the broken windows, but please use the door. You have my cell phone if you get hurt, but don't get hurt. Stay out of the basement. It's too dark and too wet.
All right.
Also, cell service is nearly non-existent out here, so use caution. I'll come by in the morning for the key. You know I'm crazy for letting you do this.
And you think I'm crazy for doing it?
I think you have a great need to know what lies beyond. I'm not sure it's worth knowing. Good luck, kid.
Thank you, Mrs. Miller. Appreciate it.
She was nice. Bit of a hard edge. Well, folks, I have the keys to the kingdom, and I'm heading in. Just a second.
Oh my God. You guys, this door is heavy. It's a big, heavy door. Most of the stained glass inlay is still holding up, though. It's pretty cool.
Okay. Now that Mrs. Miller has driven away, you guys, I am officially all alone in a 313,000 square foot Gothic nightmare. Built in 1875, this old beauty still has a lot of that Tim Burton architectural charm that you all love in the interior. It really is stunning. I'm gonna do a little exploring before I set up camp for the night. I do indeed have a map of the interior right here. I got this online. Thank you, Internet. The best part of these places are always where the medical equipment is. So we are headed to the X-ray department that is adjacent to the morgue. You guys, it's Halloween. You think I wanna explore the cafeteria? We'll have more luck with EVPs at the morgue anyway, as you can imagine. We're gonna go downstairs. Another set of doors. I am keenly aware that Mrs. Miller advised me not to enter down here, and it is clear to see why. If I turn off my flashlight, I cannot see my hand in front of my face, and I will not do that again.
I'm currently shining my light down an underground corridor that seems to go on forever. This was one of the main access tunnels. This tunnel connects the whole campus and all its outlying buildings in an underground network. This was a way of getting from building to building and transporting patients in the winter. Oh, shh. It was also a discreet way to get bodies to and from the morgue, which we are almost near. Another door. Guys, I am telling you, it is like a Hollywood movie set in here. These are the places I love. It's a typical Victorian-looking morgue setup with updated equipment over the years. The embalming equipment looks like it's from the 50s. I'm gonna put my stuff down, and this will be our camp for the night. The morgue? Are you kidding me? Fans of the show will know I always pick the morgue, if they have one. I'm setting my laptop on a desk. The spirits portion of this podcast refers specifically to booze provided by our sponsor, the Brewery. They have been great supporters of the show and supply me with a bottle of something good that I will sip occasionally to calm my nerves if things get a little too creepy. Check them out at brewery.com. Oh! I know you heard that. Oh, it's either punk teenagers or ghosts. Honestly, I would prefer ghosts over angry teens any day. Whew, that really got my heart going. It should be said that loud bangs can also be attributed to the fact that portions of this building have already collapsed. At least I'm gonna tell myself this so I will not run from here.
Okay.
If that's not some kids, it could be a nudge from the other side. Let's get these EVPs going. If you're worried about me, and I know I am, I have a taser and mace on a keychain ready to go at a moment's notice. Unfortunately, that's only for humans. I currently have no ghost-busting capabilities.
Oh! Hello? You can't be in here! Okay, if you're gonna come in, do it!
Did you hear that? That was a woman. She said, "Stop her." What was that?
Stop her.
Right, that was a female voice saying, "Stop her." Who are you? What is your name?
Margie. Margie.
Margie. Margie, why are you still here?
Please, find me.
Okay. Where are you? All right, for the record, in all my years, I have never had such a clear, direct dialogue with a ghost before.
Find me!
Uno! No, no, no!
Oh, well. The doors to the morgue have just swung wide open on their own. Luckily for my heart, there is no one on the other side, folks. Whew, this is happening in real time.
Please, find me.
Yo, you are the lady. Let's get moving. Oh man, I can barely walk. My legs are trembling. I'm moving down the hallway slowly. I could not run if I tried, and I have to go to the bathroom so bad. Ooh, okay. Was that meant for me? Down this left hallway?
Stop us.
I'm following the sounds that she's making. I'm following your sounds. Who are we trying to stop?
Don't let her do this.
Who am I trying to stop? Oh no. Oh no, you guys. Wait a minute, I left the map in the morgue. I am an idiot. This is a rookie mistake. Okay, luckily for me, Margie is leading the way and knocking over furniture and garbage apparently in the direction that she wants me to go. My stomach is in knots. If this is a prank, heads are gonna roll, I swear. Okay, I need to calm down. Let's recap. A woman named Margie is trying to stop someone. Now, it is possible that we are hearing a voice whose goals are from another time. She may be replaying a scenario from the past on a loop. One time in the Berkshires.
You are near.
My shirt is completely soaked through with sweat. There is a hallway with a single office door at the end. I'm walking towards it. There's a lot of stuff on the floor.
Enter.
Just a minute. My feet are kind of frozen in place, you guys. Oh boy, I think I might be having a panic attack. I'm looking at one of these old-timey office doors that has a glass panel with painted lettering on it. It's too filthy to read. I'm gonna wipe it down. Give me a second. Chief of Staff, Head Nurse, Margaret Miller.
Oh no! Oh no! Oh no!
Okay. The glass on the door just shattered. Margie. Margie Miller.
My daughter.
No. No, no. The door is opening on its own. Rosie Miller. Rose, you better believe I'm gonna call her right now. I have two bars here, so I'm getting through. Rosie, is that your mom? Please pick up. Rose, you're on speaker so we can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, Jeff, yes.
Tell me the truth. Is this a joke? Am I being pranked?
I'm afraid not, dear boy.
Margaret Miller is your mother?
She never married. Pregnant patients who were admitted to the hospital often had to surrender their babies to the state. She stole me and raised me as her own. She was my captor.
Why didn't you tell me all this when we first spoke?
Oh, Jeff, did you ever wonder why you are so successful at talking to ghosts and capturing all that you do? You have the gift. They are compelled to talk to you because you can hear them. That was clear from your very first episode.
Rose,
you should probably answer your mother.
Hello, Margaret.
Stop.
It's over, Margaret. I wanted to be sure I could tell you that. You will no longer have dominion over anything. That place or me. The demolition crew starts next week.
Folks, the ladies are chatting and I am getting out of here. Oh. Rose! Rose, you lied to me!
I'm sorry, dear boy. I needed her to know her reign of terror was over.
I'm getting out of here! She's throwing a friggin' temper tantrum!
Jeff, I only pretended to drive away. I'm at the front entrance. Run, Jeff, run!
I'm at the morgue. I can't remember which way to go.
Are you facing the morgue door?
Yes.
Oh, run up the stairs to your left.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm in the lobby.
Dr. Switzer.
Oh, no.
Dr. Jeff Switzer.
No.
Please report to the nurse's office.
No. I can't get this damn door open!
Oh, I'm sorry, Jeff. Are you hurt?
You could have got me killed in there, lady.
You'll find the help in the
chat in
the video.
Screw you! Okay. Breathe. You know, everyone wants to know the truth. As if somehow knowing the truth will ease their fears about death and the beyond. Who? The beyond. It's not a game. It is to be feared. I didn't want to admit it, but some of us will get lost when we die and end up alone in places like that. Make things right. Now. And be careful what you wish for. Happy Halloween.
Once again, this is Helen Davis, executive producer. Jeff's car and the audio you heard tonight were found by police on the New Jersey Turnpike. He's been missing for a year, and we still don't know how or why. Rose Miller refused to be interviewed for this segment, as she is part of the ongoing police investigation. Jeff, we hope you're listening wherever you are, and that you will soon find your way back to us. This was the last episode of Spectres and Spirits until we can get him safely home. Please report any facts that you may have about Jeff's whereabouts to your local authorities. A cash reward is available for any information that leads us to him. Jeff, we love you, and we want you back. Thank you for listening.
This was a work of fiction by Richard R. Henry. Please report to the nurse's office.
Spectres and Spirits by Richard R. Henry. Directed by Mark Shanahan. And featuring original music, sound design, and audio production by John Gramata. With Richard Henry as Jeff Switzer, Erin Elizabeth Clemens as Helen Davis, and Tina Johnson as Rose Miller. For the Westport Country Playhouse, production coordinator Megan Smith, technical director and associate director of production RJ Romeo, associate producer and director of production David Dreyfus, managing director Michael Barker, artistic director Mark Lamas. The Westport Country Playhouse Radio Theater is created and curated by Mark Shanahan. For WSHU, station manager Rima Dial, program director and morning edition host Tom Kuser, Julie Ferdino, production director. If you would like to listen to this program or share with friends and family, the recordings of this radio play will be available on the Playhouse website, www.westportplayhouse.org, through June 20th, along with a full cast list and other details related to the making of this production. Thank you again to the Playhouse's 2021 season sponsor, the Eunice and David Bigelow Foundation, and to WSHU for their generous collaboration.
This is Mark Lamas, Artistic Director of the Westport Country Playhouse, thanking you for joining us.